Hey Pounders, this is J.R. Wilco with this week's Unnecessary Foolishness. It's episode 14 of the Superfluous Poppycock podcast. We have so many things to talk about, and we are going to lead off with Spurs news for maybe the first episode since the Spurs have been eliminated. We got some really, really crucial stuff to talk about, and here to talk about it with me is Seth Warren. Seth?
Well, nothing much ever really happened in the NBA this week, aside from the Spurs news. The Spurs news is really all that matters.
Okay.
I think if we're organizing this outline style, the first thing we need to do is bid adieu to Boris Diaw.
Oh, man. See, in my mind, for some reason, I still feel like it hasn't fully happened. I don't know.
I know.
It's... okay. But
the most interesting man in the world is now gone from our roster. Patty Mills has to be now the most interesting man in the world, and that doesn't seem right.
Patty Mills is more interesting than Manu Ginobili?
Manu's kind of a family man now. That kind of takes a lot out of you. You know that.
Okay, that's true. And after all, Manu said of Boris, our worst. Our worst day is his best day, right?
Right. It was just awful. I heard the news on the radio, and it was like a punch to the gut. And so I changed the station and just went on to, modern contemporary songs. And damned if they didn't have Adele singing Someone Like You at that moment. It friggin' Adele. It was almost single tears. It wasn't even a single tear. It was like one single and then a deluge just down my cheeks I wish nothing but the best for you, Boris. It was just heart-wrenching because Boris is a Spur. He's always been a Spur. When he was a Sun, he was a Spur. He's one of those. For me, I haven't felt this way since Malik Rose. Boris was that kind of player for me.
See,
so I'm really sad.
Wow. I used to wonder, Malik, what was it that he did? What was it that he did to get into Pop's doghouse? Why? He was such an integral part of that team for so long, and then he was just rode the bench, and then he would get in, he would just get yelled at, and to think about Boris now. Mrs. Wilco was distraught. She was like, "What? No!" I'm like, "Hun, this is kind of scary. Are you?" It turns out he was her favorite Spur.
And no kidding, because she's a girl. That's common. You act like this is weird, like you're surprised. My wife's the same way. She's infatuated. I told her last night, and she said, "Oh, he's such a pretty man." That's exactly what she said.
Did I ever tell you about the first Spurs Nuggets game of this past season of 2015-2016? And we've got it on. My wife's in the other room. The kids are there watching it with me. And Sean and they got the regular call. And just play-by-play, Bill Land is talking about Boris is in the game, and he's guarding one of the Nuggets, and the words float out from the television. Oh, I'm sorry. Boris has the ball. Denver is on defense, and the words float out of the television. Diaw got Moutier on him, and my wife's like, "Yeah, he does."
Oh, nice.
And I'm like,
nice.
He didn't say booty. And she says,
yeah. I don't know what it is. He's a ladies' man. I don't know what it is.
It's weird because at the same time, while I feel like it really hasn't happened yet, that he hasn't actually left San Antonio, in some ways he left San Antonio as the player he was for those 2 years. He left San Antonio when they got the championship. He hasn't been the same. Well, he's been the same player for spurts.
Well, yeah, but to be fair to him, we don't know that conclusively. When you add a player like LaMarcus Aldridge and another player like David West, it really changes his role a bit, if not his usage. So
yeah,
I don't
know. He had a really good beginning to this past season.
He did.
But
and you go back and watch that 2014 and tell me. I mean, he.
No.
I remember thinking, my gosh, this guy, you can make a definitive case that Boris could have been that series MVP.
MVP of the Western Conference Finals games, game closeout, for sure.
Right, absolutely.
Right up there with Corey Joseph in the second half minutes he gave us when Parker had his ankle deal.
Well, but, starting him on the floor
yes.
in place of Splitter completely revolutionized that series.
And then all of the work that he put in to make the finals, just that glorious. God, I need to go back and watch those games.
I know. I did about a week ago. I watched them again, and it was just, those were the good old days, you know, when we didn't have burning super teams. We didn't have all, well, we kind of did. We beat one.
Yeah.
But
eliminated.
Those were just the good old days. Speaking of, you know, goodbye, Boris. We love you. We're going to miss you.
Wait, hold on. You can't speaking of and do that. We have to make it official, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Boris Diaw, Francophile, wino. Well, not wino. Wine connoisseur. Wow, wino sounds awful.
It does.
Farewell to you, sir. It was great having you as a Spur. I'm glad that you spent this time with us, and you know, Seth, you know what I'm thinking of is when you came to San Antonio, and I met you in the lobby. Maybe the first time we'd ever laid eyes on each other, and gave you a big old Spurs hug, and went immediately into how the rumors were that Boris Diaw was coming to the Spurs, and before that
yes.
weekend was up, he was a Spur.
That's right. It's the mojo. That was the mojo at work. Maybe we need to make an impromptu trip to Salt Lake City. Because potentially if we went to Salt Lake City and mojoed Boris out of there, maybe to, I don't know, come to San Antonio, sit on the bench, just assistant coach next to Ime, it would fulfill my, although to be fair, Boris, we love you. We appreciate what you gave. More than anything, I appreciate you not stealing all of our wives. Good luck in Salt Lake City.
Good luck, Boris. All right, so we're checking Boris off.
Now going to the speaking of.
Yeah.
Now that is how you and I, as friends and fans of the Spurs, bid adieu. That is how we send off a cherished member of our team, a player on our team with such immense class, such character, such Spurness. That is how we treat that man, with respect, with dignity. So let's talk about David West.
Oh, I have to go to him. All right.
Dead to me. Absolutely dead to me. In every way.
Yeah, as a player, it taints the very beginning of our relationship. I'm like, the entire last year of being on a hilltop with the fact that he would come to the team, that he would care enough to jump in, that it was a Spur through and through. He was always a Spur. There's the guy that's always.
Yes. And that's the difference. What you then, just said. That's the difference. Is that we thought, and we had this conversation and said, you know what? It kind of reeks of ring chasing. Well, not necessarily, because we're not coming off a title.
Right.
And then Cleveland's probably the second most favorite. It doesn't completely reek of ring chasing. Plus, this guy's always been a Spur, just like you said. And I don't think that's a rationalization to say all of those things kind of kept us from really questioning his character when he came to San Antonio. This move, 180 degrees different than that move.
Yeah. And it's even worse the fact that it was after.
Yes.
They had solidified after Barnes had been replaced by what's his name? I mean, the fact that they have a super team in place, and then he goes, oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
I'll
join you. I will come play for you for the same amount that San Antonio would have offered, or for even less than San Antonio probably would have offered me. Mm. I will come play for you. Moment he did that, I was just dead to me. No longer a Spur. What were we thinking?
Man. Not good.
No, it was heart-wrenching. I was just so sick. You could have gone to the Mavericks, Dave. You could have gone to the Mavericks. and I wouldn't have hated you as much. But now I just feel really betrayed. I feel stabbed in the back. I just don't feel, you weren't a Spur. It didn't sink in. It didn't take.
Didn't take.
Sayonara, dead to me.
Wow.
If you don't fall off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Well, we got to come back to some good news after that downer, and Manu Ginobili. Manu has said that he will come back and play one more year. So that's going to be his 15th year in the league, 15th year with this as a Spur. So from going to an anti-Spur, never was a Spur, to one of the quintessential Spurs, I mean, I'm glad that I haven't seen Manu take his last free throw, that I haven't seen him take his last three. I don't know if I've seen him dunk his last ball. I know that I got upset with him the times that he dunked in this past season. I was like, you said you weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but upset in the way that you're upset with a beloved child. Or, he's not my child. It's kind of weird.
Well, but we all felt that way, though. There's a part of you that goes, man, I'm a little concerned about having to see Mono have one of those 4 or 5 turnover games again. But the moment you think that, you forget that upcoming game in which Manu makes this ridiculous cross-court pass for a finish, or this between-the-legs play of a defender. Manu has so much more in him. Yeah, there's going to be some times where we go, oh, he's old, he's washed up. His basketball IQ is so far off the charts.
More Ginobili genius in our future.
He's going to help us so much just simply existing.
Yeah, and just practicing with the young guys and pointing out things to them and helping Kawhi on his Euro step, or
absolutely.
I'm like any of it. It's fantastic. The more Ginobili DNA that we can infuse into our new guys in the next 11 months here, the better. So yeah, I'm all on board. Which means that the countdown is on. I mean, is there any possible way he comes back for a year after this?
No, I mean it would obviously depend on what happens.
Yeah,
but I just don't see it. He was so close this year, and depending on what his basketball life partner does this week, we should announce right now that as of post 4th of July, several days after the 4th of July in which we are recording this podcast, as of right this moment, the GOAT has not officially announced yay or nay to a return to the National Basketball Association.
But all of the rumors and all of the words and all of the I'm hearing and the sources say and the reports are that Tim Duncan, the big fundamental, big fun, the GOAT, the best power forward of that the NBA has ever seen, is leaning strongly. Man, I'm going to hate those words from now on.
Right,
leaning
know.
Strongly toward calling it a career.
Well, the problem for us as fans and as devotees, as cult-like followers of Timothy Theodore, the problem for me, I wouldn't have put any stock. There have been so much of this. We talked about it last week. The BS of the modern media, the blogosphere, the internet, there's so much involved in the modern media, especially when it comes to sports media. You see so much, and you see it through, I don't want to identify any specific entities, but you see it through team streams, you see it through sports apps on your phone, if you know what I mean. There's so many pieces of information that are nothing more than smoke screens, that are nothing more than, I'm going to take 7 stories, I'm going to throw them like boogers against a wall, and we'll see which one sticks. So you can't put any credence into any of these. Well, sources say, and I suspect that you just can't think twice about it. However, the Timmy news about leaning towards retirement, going to make an announcement soon, that was a Woj story, JR.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I was going to say when you say that. Yep. You can't. There's no credence. You can't land anything to it. It means nothing.
He's a journalistic icon. He doesn't make mistakes like this. You don't see him wrong. When he says it, it is prophetic. So as soon as I saw the source,
it's real. It means it's real. It doesn't mean it's prophetic because people change their minds. And the fact that it's still, and I don't mind saying it at this point. I mean, we're talking about. We're talking about the man we're talking about. This is Wednesday evening.
Right.
And the fact that he still hasn't come out and said anything, it has to mean that
he's got to be reconsidering. He's got to be on the fence.
Really chewing on it, which means that it's not a done deal, which means that maybe other players are meeting with him and talking with him. It means a lot of stuff. And all of that means that there's still hope. And with Manu coming back, I mean, the only bright side, the absolute single silver lining that exists here is the fact that it's possible that I'm sorry. Here's the silver lining. We wouldn't have to say goodbye to both Tim and Manu together in the same offseason.
Right. Right. No, you're exactly right. That's a very, very good point.
Because that's a lot to give up and to not have.
You're
And if they wean us off of the big three, then that would be that's the only positive thing I can see coming out of this.
Right. No, I think you're exactly right. And I still am going to be surprised if he hangs it up with Manu coming back and with another big addition that the San Antonio Spurs made this week. I see Tim Duncan very much wanting to play with a guy named Pau Gasol.
Yeah. As much as I'm kind of ambivalent about whether Boris is really truly gone now, we say goodbye to him, so I've passed over that liminal line.
Yeah, who?
But Pau, I don't see it yet. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's a little unreal at this point. And you know, there's been, I mean, it's like, I don't feel like the community of Spurs fans has really welcomed him yet.
Because I'll tell you why. Because he's 35. And because he's saying all the right things. I mean, I heard the quote the other day, and this feels like destiny to finally be joining this organization. Well, if it's that destined, pal, why chase the money to Chicago several years ago? I mean, that was my first response. I mean, we all feel like in San Antonio, it's destiny. Yeah, you're born to be a Spur. Look at you with your international connections, with the style of game you play. Let's ignore the fact you've never played defense, but forget that. Well, the style of game you play, you're a Spur. You got your whole family going on the record saying he wants to be a Spur. Yes, it's destiny. But if it's destiny, why at 35 years old? Why not several years ago when we could have really used and maximized your talent in its heyday? I mean, obviously we're not getting Powell in his prime, which, you know, we all know that. I think he's still going to be a serviceable piece. We need his offense,
yep,
whether Timmy is there or not there. But I worry about certain other teams that now control the Western Conference that thrive on the pick and roll, with Powell Gasol not being known as a very locked down pick and roll defender. I'm a little concerned about that.
You are working your masterpieces in under what's the guy, just blanking on the word. Your understatement, that's your understatement of the month right there. He isn't known for there are ways to hide guys on the court, but usually only one at a time.
That's my point.
So what does that mean? That Tony and Pau play very little crunch time ball next year?
It's going to be very hard to hide Tony and Pau together against a strong offensive team, if you know where I'm going with this. And that's the scary part of this. I we'll go back to saying, fans, you are members of the San Antonio Spurs family in that you are a fan of the greatest organization in all of professional sports. From the top down, of all organizations, I trust this organization to figure it out, to do what's best, to make the pieces work. But on paper right now, I've got concerns about Powell. Yes, his 16, 17 points a game will help if he averages that again. However, his lack of defense concerns me. His lack of, you know, lateral quickness and mobility concern me. The verdict's out on Pau. I know what you mean. We just haven't had, and I think a lot of it, to be really fair to Pau, that was kind of a big news day. I mean, they didn't even cover Pau at all on SportsCenter that day. I tuned in for an hour and none of it, not even one mention of the guy's name. So I think that sucked a lot of the air out of the room, and I think that sucked a lot of air out of Spurs fans in going, you know, I called a buddy of mine that afternoon and said, you know, this is the weirdest thing. We just got Pau Gasol, and we're going to pay him, for the most part, peanuts for getting Pau Gasol. Why do I still feel like somebody kicked me between the legs?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we're gonna have to wait to see him liven up the passing.
Right.
He's the man's got skills as a passer.
Yeah, he does.
The man can score. He's been known to average high numbers of rebounds. Whether those rebounds are meaningful or not, we can have conversations about that later on, but he's going to be fun to watch.
He will be. And I think you said the perfect point about what we need to consider as Spurs fans about Powell. I think the way to look at Powell right now is we've got another Fabricio Oberto that can score. We've got Fabricio, but add 15, 16, maybe 20 points a game. That's what we just did. And if you look at it in terms of that you've got a big man on the floor that can not only pass well and that's exceptionally smart at the game, but can stretch guys out. His game is going further and further out. He can pull guys.
He can shoot the three now.
Which is good. But what remains to be seen, if we play a team that's a shootout type of team, is Powell going to be the answer? And that's my big concern. I'm not worried about us versus, no offense, you know, Boris, but I'm not worried about us versus Utah or Minnesota. I think Powell is going to be amazing. I worry about us versus the powerhouses.
Well,
so we'll see.
We've got one more Spur to talk about.
I thought we had several.
Have one more near Spur to talk about. He's not technically a Spur yet, but Davis Bertans.
He was signed. Technically, that's a Spur.
Did that happen just now today? Because no, I did all the searching and everything is going to sign, and everything is still in that rumor.
How hilarious is it that when you just said that, the news breaking of is going to sign tomorrow, whatever it may be, that's not signing. It used to be before DeAndre Jordan. Yeah. It used to be concrete. Nothing's ever in the bag, thanks to DeAndre.
DeAndre Jordan was apparently not the first guy to ever do that, because I thought he was opening Pandora's box there, and that you would never have guys, you know, making promises and it being newsworthy again. DeAndre Jordan last year was not the first guy to do that, but I'm like, you get gun shy about that kind of stuff, and I mean it's the Spurs. Their official announcements are often weeks after everybody has announced it as having happened.
So who's that guy playing small forward? Oh yeah, no, we forgot to make the announcement.
That's right. Were you guys waiting for us to say? He signed. Yeah. He signed with us. That's why, you know. Yeah, but Davis Bertans, I'm excited to see the European version of Matt Bonner out there with a little more athleticism and with a few ups and smoking the three
that?
And come on.
Why did you do that? I was so excited.
That. He could grow beyond that, but like right now. It's not that bad.
Just literally suck the air out.
I did not, okay, so how do you How do you want to describe the man?
Let's call him a burgeoning Spur Dirk Nowitzki. Let's call him that. Let's not, because I don't want to set the, like, I want your ceiling to be up here. I don't want it to be.
He's
way
already thin. Matt Bonner, and he hasn't even taken a shot for the Spurs yet. That assumes that he's going to grow beyond that.
I would hope so. Let's set the bar a little higher than the American Matt Bonner, though. No offense, Matt. I love you. I'm sure you make great sandwiches at the house, but I don't need you taking up a roster spot anymore. If we can be so
thanks. Wow, boy, did we get off the wrong foot with Davis?
Yeah, you did. You're the one. I was excited. I was super excited. I can't wait to see the kid. Not so much now.
Mm-hmm.
The European Matt Bonner. No, keep him. Stay over there.
Well, if that's all he is. So I guess the takeaway here is, Davis, please be more than Matt right away for Seth.
Please. Yes, because you know what? Let me tell you. We have Matt Bonner. We don't need another Matt Bonner, especially one that doesn't know the system.
We've got Matt Bonner, and he's corporate. I don't know. Do we have Matt? The way that this roster is filling out now, I don't see.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
For Matty.
Adios.
It's not official yet, but an unofficially superfluous poppycockish official.
We're not breaking any news or anything like that. We're not about to break any news. Let's save the adieus for Matt Bonner until that news is official. Mm-hmm. And let's just relish in the fact that we traded the American Matt Bonner for potentially a European Matt Bonner.
We'll switch. Yeah, sure.
We switched the two. Yeah, not trade per se. We swapped them.
All right. Are we ready to move on to our first paid promotional segment on Superfluous Poppycock?
Go for it.
I think we are. Today we are going to talk about the Summer League coming up. It begins in Utah and moves on to Vegas. The next couple of weeks, the next couple of podcasts, we are going to have some Summer League stuff to talk about. And today's Summer League segment is brought to you by the new Myst Twist. As the official lemon lime of Game Time, Myst Twist brings all the lemon lime refreshment with a twist of real juice. Available now at retailers nationwide. Insist on the twist. We're going to have a promotional post that goes up where we will be giving away a signed LaMarcus Aldridge jersey to one lucky Superfluous Poppycock Pounding the Rock reader, watcher, follower. Details to follow. Let's talk about the Summer League, Seth.
Well, you know, I will say to start off the Summer League, there are some guys that are looking really good, and we're playing the same game we do every summer in which, wow, did you see so-and-so last night? He had so many points.
Don't say so-and-so. Just come out and say it. Jonathan Simmons is balling.
Against the JV team, yes. He is balling, just like he was last summer. Wasn't he MVP last year? Yeah. Just like he was last year.
No, he's taking it to it. He never scored this week. 35 against the Jets?
I'm sorry. I'm just reading the stat line, and I say 9 turnovers. How many points did he have?
I believe it was 35 points.
Okay. I'm sorry, 9 turnovers.
He had 9
turnovers. I'm not beating up on Jonathan. It's well documented. I love Jonathan Simmons.
Yes, you do.
I think he's going to be a great piece for us. It's this summer league dream. It's the glamour shots of the NBA. Everybody looks at it and goes, wow, that guy. And then we've never heard of that guy ever again. It's a perfect league for the James Whites of the world. Where's James today, guys? One person tell me.
James Flight White.
I don't know where
there's
he is.
There's Amanda Gould right there. But you know, it's not just Simmons going in there and lighting it up. It's Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, Kyle's doing well.
Seems to have sped up the release on his shot. Hit from 3-point land. So I mean, we've got some guys who've been putting in the work. And we don't need 35 points from Jonathan Simmons.
No, they look good. I'll give you that. I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm not trying to be negative. I face this every summer in which I find it, fall in love with, or I get really excited because this guy.
There's time for you to pull back on expectations. Go ahead. This is our first paid promotional segment here. Be excited about him. Go ahead and let yourself.
He's looking great. He's looking better than he did last year by logic and by reasonable progression. He's doing better than he did last year. Kyle is looking better. Whether they can translate that to the big show, I'm not sure of yet. And I hope that they can. I hope that their roles increase. With Simmons, his defense, his long range stroke, his motor, his athleticism, he is a guy that can be a critical cog for us putting in the work this year on the Spurs. Hopefully he can. I'm just not going
to
get.
He's just got to put it together on defense. He's got to hold it together on offense, cut down on those turnovers, and be able to stay in front of guys on defense. And we're going to have people be talking about another one of those guys that the Spurs pulled off of, you know, the garbage heap out back and threw into the silver and black and just watched him shine.
Oh, it's a system. That's what it is. Yeah. Well, I legitimately believe that what you're saying is Jonathan Simmons. I legitimately believe that this guy has star potential to him. I want to see that very, very badly. I think the biggest thing, think about Steph Curry's first year. And I'm not comparing him to Steph Curry. I'm just saying, you look at the confidence, the biggest key that these guys need. It's not even necessarily decision-making or shot selection or stroke. I mean, specific fundamentals in a lot of cases. It is confidence at its core. And you look at Steph's first year, fairly pedestrian. I mean, he was a star. He did pretty well. But Steph's first year, we weren't talking about back-to-back MVP, greatest shooter of all time.
No, we were talking about the guy that had the bad ankles.
That's Dell's kid. That's Seth's brother. I mean, we weren't talking about Steph in the same vein. It wasn't until Steph turned that corner of developing that unbelievable confidence of, okay, I'm just going to throw this up from half court because I know that it's going in. And granted, that's several years down the road, but that jump between year one and year two, or even year two, year three, that same mojo or that same confidence is what Jonathan needs. And once he's able to develop that same belief in himself and that steadfastness, I think we're looking at a star. It's the question is he going to find that? And I hope that Summer League gives him the shot. I just, you know, playing against the European Matt Bonner is not going to give you confidence.
Goodness, let's let that go.
Okay.
It's only going to make you. Is it going to only make you upset whenever you think of Bertans if you do that?
I was so excited. You really literally
so give him another nickname. Give him your own nickname.
Okay. Well, I'll get back to you on that. I'm still blinded by the European Matt Bonner.
Wow.
What a buzzkill.
Wow. We'll have to move on.
Who else have you seen in Summer League that you like?
I don't have NBA. I don't have NBA TV yet, and they haven't played any of this on ESPN like they are going to in the Vegas Summer League. So I'm only basking in the glow of other people's
reports. Kyle Anderson is your vote though for the guy that you've seen major improvement on.
Well, I just Michael Erler talked about how he'd sped up his release, and he's the person who's griped about Anderson more than any other living human being, and I have tons of Spurs conversations all year long. And so for him to say anything nice about Kyle Anderson, he's not looking for reasons to do that. So if that was one of the main issues, was just how long it took him to get his shot off and the fact that it didn't go in. Was secondary actually to the fact that it took that his shot was molasses slow. So
I think everything was pretty molasses slow. So I think if he sped it up a little bit, I'll be thrilled as well. But I just haven't watched as much. I've been following a lot of the game casts, but haven't really watched much of the Summer League yet because it's early and because we're in free agency season. That's really been the big capturing bit of news. You know, you got major, major stories to talk about, like Derrick Rose going to New York. You know, Dwayne Wade is on the fence. The Spurs picked up Powell. I think unless I'm missing something, the big dominating
story. Well, it's about time for us to go to the superfluous poppycock section of the podcast and talk about the biggest unnecessary foolishness that we've seen over the last week. Do you have anything that kind of fits that?
I do. You know, normally I like Bomani Jones, even though his style is kind of grating to me. Mm. I like Stephen A. Smith's substance, even though I think Stephen A. is somewhat of a cartoon at this point in his career. I 100% agree with both of them when they chastise a particular player who switched teams this last week. I don't know if you saw this amidst all of the Brexit coverage, but Kevin Durant decided to sign a deal with the Golden State Warriors this past week.
Did hear something about that.
Yeah, it slipped through a lot of news channels, but he decided to sign with the Golden State Warriors, to leave Oklahoma City, to not go to San Antonio or a New York or a Miami.
Or even Boston.
Even Boston. And he went to the very team that beat
him out
in the Western Conference, that is coming off, only a year off coming off, a championship that has the strongest backcourt, arguably, in the NBA. It's kind of the bandwagon favorite team in the league. He chose to align his talents. Well, it's a hit or miss.
Oh, bandwagon. Yeah, okay, I guess.
He chose to align his talents with the Golden State Warriors. Yep. And, you know, I will agree with Stephen A. that I think it's the weakest basketball move I've ever seen. I like Bomani's analogy this last week. He talked about how disgusting it was because it was very similar to a 5-on-5 pickup game you play with your boys. And you've got your team, and you're pretty good, but you play this unbelievable high-flying team of five guys on the playground, and they just decimate and destroy you. After the game, you're shaking hands, you're patting everybody on the back. One of the guys from the winning team says, you know what, hey, I got to go to work, guys. I got to run to work. they've got a couple guys on their bench that get up, that get ready to go next man in, and you go, no, how about me? I'll play for you guys. And you walk away from your team and you go play with this high-flying team. That was his analogy, and I went, spot on. That's exactly what it is. And you know, for those of you out there that are saying, well, you're saying that because it's Golden State. You wouldn't be saying, and I found this inwardly. I had to turn inward and go, am I being fair? Am I being intellectually honest? Because isn't it also, wouldn't it be ring chasing? Wouldn't it be bandwagon-y? Wouldn't it be kind of weak sauce if he'd have joined the Spurs? No. And here's why. He beat the Spurs. He beat them this year, not to mention the connection he has with Pop and the reverence that he has for Pop and has publicly stated, not to mention the fact that San Antonio, and I've said this before, I don't know how to say it in any different way, Oklahoma City is much more than one KD away from a championship. San Antonio is literally one KD from a championship. Golden State is not one KD from a championship, as they just proved. I do not see the similarity. Had he gone to San Antonio, there would have at least been a little bit more legacy preservation. Going to Golden State, I've just never seen anything like it. I never would have imagined. I mean, we saw something similar in LeBron, but I don't even think LeBron's flip-flops back and forth all over the place would even compare to what KD has chosen to do. I don't think he cares, but regardless, I just don't respect the move.
Turned himself into a heel, and just how what a weird way to do that. Just going to, like you said, the team that knocked him out, and you can even argue that if KD had played better in any of those games, that they win.
Right.
And that for you to be the reason why your team didn't get over that hump. Yeah. With a 3-1 lead.
3-1 lead.
And
this
then,
other team.
And then to slide on over to that team, when that team arguably, okay, I'm not going to say it, but it's you can make the argument that the reason that they lost their 3-1 lead to the Cavs is because of their injuries.
Right.
And for them to be injuries away from winning it all, and then as a superstar yourself to go, I think it's unprecedented.
I absolutely it is. There's no word for it. It's insane to me, and I think this is, you know, the league is getting what's coming to them. This really is a product of all these the lockout, in which they're talking there could be another lockout now that this has happened and opened the floodgates for something like this, because what's coming now? Next summer, LeBron's going to sign another one-up with Cleveland, and then next summer, they're going to go after another big, big name, like a Chris Paul, a Blake Griffin, somebody like that that's a free agent next summer. LeBron's going to lure him to Cleveland, and we're going to be watching a league that has two teams, and that's primarily it. The parity that Adam Silver and David Stern wanted doesn't exist and is not going to exist, and it's disgusting.
That's the issue that's upsetting as much as anything to me, is that I don't want to watch foregone conclusions.
No.
And I don't want to watch a two-team league.
No.
And the fact that we're staring that in the face is what's annoying to me. The fact that a regular season that of all the three major sports in the U.S. is the most easily insulted about, you know, and run down because the playoffs are where it all happens, and who cares about a mid-February game, you know, when it's freezing outside. And I still enjoy it because anything can happen, and this is kind of, it seems to have taken some of the edge off of that anything can happen, because just that air of inevitability, which I don't like. I mean, we have to prepare ourselves for even more Warriors worship, another season's worth of that, and I felt like we'd kind of dodged that bullet when they hadn't repeated, and now it's just right back into that. Chris Broussard said something like right when it happened, he said, "Look, we want these guys to care more about championships than they care about money, and he's given up money. We want guys to care about the rings and not about the bling." And that Durant is making decisions based on that. And I'm like, you know what? We're selective about that, though.
Sure.
Across the board, we want guys to make decisions based on ring and to want to win and to care more about winning and less about money and to give up money when necessary. All of that stuff. But from the best players in the league, we expect something more. Mm-hmm. And what we expect is guys to be competitive. And what is their competitive? Where's the competitive nature? Where is that in, the best team? And I'm one of the best players, so why shouldn't I? And
I can't beat him. I might as well join.
I'm not saying that Kevin Durant does not have the right to do that. He absolutely does. I'm not saying that it's a disgrace. I'm just saying, as a fan, it's disappointing because of what is expected from a player at the level of Kevin Durant. We do not expect him to go, I'll join those guys. You expect him to look. Worst case scenario, he does something like LeBron and he finds some of his friends to go get together with and creates his own super team.
Right.
And even LeBron, even the fact that LeBron did that was not the problem for me. The problem for me was always with the decision and the not three, not four, not five, not six. Yeah. That is what I reacted to. The fact that he did it, I didn't care about it one way or the other. It was everything else that went around it. With this, it's actually the fact of it. It's not how he did it. I feel like he did it about as well as you can possibly do it. He dropped his own little press report on the Players Tribune, and it was done and it was over. The way he did it was fine, but it's the fact of what he did here, and it's about fan expectations, not about his right to do it. It's his career. He can do whatever he wants, and if he, you know, maybe it changes his legacy for all time, and he goes out as a several ring wearer instead of staying in Oklahoma City and never being able to make it. But then again, at the same time, we're talking about a situation where almost everyone that I talk to, Spurs fan or not, every non-Warriors fan is going, anyone but the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And to unite the entire NBA like that, is so weird to see that. Kevin Durant has single-handedly turned LeBron James into a good guy.
Yeah, who would have seen that coming? Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, though, because that's a brilliant point to make about this. It's not that Kevin Durant is forming a super team. It's the way that it went down. He's joining, because that's the distinct difference between what LeBron did. You're exactly right. And now that I think about it, you get, I'm trying to think of some random names, guys that aren't even free agents, but you get Blake Griffin and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, and they go all of a sudden and go play in Minnesota together, and they join up and they form this pack of friends like LeBron can't exist without. I'm more okay with that. I don't like it, and I think it's childish. I think it's weak sauce right there. But to do what Durant did, to sell out and literally join, you can't beat them, join them. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want our athletes to do that. We want our athletes, we almost look at them as superheroes in a lot of ways. And they're just men. I understand that. They're flawed and they have their own desires and their own goals. I get that. But we still want these guys. You know, it's hard to comment when we're looking through the colored lenses of David Robinson, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, guys that go, no, that's not for me. I'm selling a franchise. I'm selling a family. If I hear this word brotherhood from Draymond one more time, I'm going to vomit. Brotherhood is a guy like Tim Duncan. Brotherhood is a guy like Dirk Nowitzki, who says, you know what, I'm going to take pennies on what I'm worth for my career to stay with this franchise. Now, Dirk got close, but Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, David was like, you remember the perpetual loser that David Robinson was? Looks like a league dominant center all of a sudden until the playoffs come, and then your boy Olajuwon would abuse him. That was his legacy, getting abused. He could have easily broke away and said, hey, Michael, you know what? Can you imagine the pick and rolls that Michael Jordan and David Robinson could have run? I'll go join the Bulls. I'll get more rings. It's about me. It's not just about you and what you're wearing on your hand. It's so much bigger than that. And I don't know if it's the Spurs fan within me that says that, or if it's, you know, if it's just somebody who has a higher expectation. And I don't want to say Kevin Durant failed expectations, because you're exactly right. It's his choice. He's a grown up. He's a man. I think it's soft. It really is. And I don't want, I'm never going to be one of those fans that wishes injury. I'm never going to be one of those fans that wishes for bad things to happen. But I feel like when events like this happen in the NBA, karma takes place. I really do feel like you mentioned, I think the pageantry, not one, not two, not three. I think that act and other acts similar to that, that hubris doomed that Miami Heat team. And I see the same hubris quickly developing in Golden State now. And I, like I said, I don't wish for ill will. The problem when you sell out your team, and there's another example of this or another at least facet of this we need to talk about, but when you sell out that entire team, that depth to achieve a player like that, they're four strong. And yeah, they're looking at bringing Barbosa back for pennies. And we have, you know, David Judas West decided to sign a small contract over there. We have Zaza that decided you're going to have a lot of clingers and a lot of coattail kind of guys that sign over the next couple of weeks with Golden State. You're really four deep. That's about it. And when you mortgage everything based on being – now, granted, that four deep is going to score 70 points a quarter. However, one domino falls. I mean one domino falls. Steph Curry's legs continue to act up. Kevin Durant's legs finally kind of become mortal. This year in the performance he gave in the playoffs kind of distracted us from the fact, as we've already said, that kid's had some major, major leg surgeries and they're career abridging surgeries. So all of that stuff catches up to you. You're done as a franchise. They are so monetarily linked to those guys. And next summer is going to be interesting because they're going to have to pay KD and Steph. A summer after that, I think Klay comes open. Yes, there's a ton of money out there. But after a while, there's a reason you don't have big fours, and it's because that model cannot sustain financially. I want to hear brotherhood from all these guys in about 3 years when they're looking over at their brother.
When they have to sign contracts that are below market value because they care more about brotherhood than, let's see how long they can keep it together. It should be an amazing team. It should be some really beautiful basketball. It should be something, maybe a marvel to watch, and I can't even consider cheering for it right now because of the or supporting it at all. It's just I can't. It's weird. And you talk about what's going to happen next year, man. I mean, what about Russell Westbrook now?
Well, you know, this begs the question with Russell. I don't feel bad for Russell Westbrook because of the player he is and just the vibe that I've gotten from Russell. But the interesting dichotomy with Russell is that you and I have had a long-standing, several-year conversation about Russell. He's a once-in-a-generation type of talent, but he's a very mercurial type of player. He's a very polarizing type of player. His body language, his basketball IQ, everything. There's just something that doesn't seem right. And over the last 2 years, it's been really funny to watch the metamorphosis. I question now, was Russell really ever the problem? I mean, because does this Kevin Durant move, it to me it indicates one of two things. Either A, Russell's really not the bad apple, or B, maybe he is the extremely bad apple, and that's what KD was fleeing away from. And I don't know that we'll ever know the answer to that, but I just think that brotherhood, that partnership is interesting how that dissolved. And I love the underground rumor that's brewing right now. I think Jalen Rose is the one that fed this just yesterday. I don't know that I really like to hear the rumors of Russell Westbrook potentially joining the San Antonio Spurs. I like the thought of a front line of Russell Westbrook and Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. That's very seductive. What's not seductive is the hero ball and the massive amount of baggage that Russell Westbrook would bring. That
it just
I don't even know that
it just wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen.
I don't think we'd ever entertain it.
Yeah, I just if he comes, he has to come. Whoever comes to San Antonio has to look Pop in the eye and say, "Yes, sir. I understand, sir."
Well, not only that, I'm not going to shoot 73 times a game, sir. That's the other big thing. I'm going to play both ends of the court all out, sir.
Well, and plays all out. It's just that sometimes his all out is it just excludes the other four guys on the court as he goes, "I've got to win this." But also, we've only ever seen him in that environment where there is no system, where there is no real late game offense, where he can't look over at the side and at the sidelines and have somebody hold up a number of fingers to say, "Here's the play you run right now." And he's got to go, "I've got to take this on myself." Outside of that, environment, who knows what it is. But yeah, I mean, over the last 3 years, Russell's really started to change in my eyes. I still find it hard to like that, just that negative face that he puts on. I receive that as negative. I look out there, he's probably thinking, I got to be tough. I got to play as hard as I can. But that sneer comes off smug to me, and it's hard for me to cheer for it.
It is.
But if he came to San Antonio, it absolutely would be, I would receive it with the understanding that he looked Pop in the eye and said, I get it. It'll be your way. And just move forward. That's just so long from now.
But you know what it is, too. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be so long. Let me tell you how this is going to go down. Oklahoma City is going to approach Russell before the end of the summer and say, look, you're free next summer. We want to extend you now. We want to extend your contract right now. Russell, 100% sure, is going to say, no. I got big money coming next summer, guys. Afraid not. The moment he says that, OKC is going to shop Russell. You have to. Because, again, you know personally how much I hate saying I told you so. You know how much I hate dwelling on the fact that I was right and I warned you about this. Who is the one guy in your life, JR, that told you for the last 2 years that the move the Thunder need to make is trade Kevin Durant while he still has value?
Yeah.
I told you this. I'm telling you right now that they've learned. They have learned from this. They already knew with how they dealt Harden, how they dealt Ibaka. They just kind of dropped the ball. I don't even want to say that. When you've got a guy like Durant, who's one of the superstars of our league, you kind of roll the dice on that. But it's high risk, high reward, and they really went the high-risk way, and they lost him. I don't think they're willing to take that chance again with getting nothing back, and I think they shopped Durant.
It would be wise if they didn't. Like you say, shopping Westbrook.
They're going to shop Westbrook,
earlier,
and they're going to start doing it. This year, they're going
to
do it.
Now, if that's the case, the Spurs don't have anything to trade with them over. It would have to be as a free agent if they find it.
You could go multi-team. Now, Boston and L.A. are going to be the ones that you hear bandied about so much. He's from L.A. It's a dumpster fire over at the Lakers right now. But regardless, he's the answer. He's the guy that could fix it all. Or you go to the other coast. You got some great pieces, some great coaching. That's attractive, too. But the quiet alternative is a team like San Antonio. And it's going to be real interesting because I think we're going to hear a lot more about him being a Spur just simply because I really do think there's some bad blood. And I think there's a part of him that says, you know what? I want to burn number 35 to the ground. I want to go somewhere in which we can dominate the super team of the Warriors. And what KD did to my franchise in OKC, and the way to do that immediately and win titles is to go to San Antonio, because I think they would, honestly, I think they would be favored at that point if we wanted to have him. It may be a pipe dream, but we'll begin to hear a lot more of this in the next 6 months.
Yeah, as much as OKC versus San Antonio has become a rivalry over the years, there's not been that many NBA guys to jump from one team to another like that. You know, you don't see a lot of Celtics going to LA back in the day.
That would be a huge move. That would be a huge middle finger move is what that would be. That would be a definitive, hey, KD, blankety blank, if he went to the Spurs.
Speaking of that, you got to know that the NBA schedulers are thinking long and hard about when the Thunder play their first game against the Warriors this coming year.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. But that's,
well, I mean, I think it depends on the relationship and the way these franchises work. You're going to have the Thunder has already sent out investigators. They've already sent out guys, I am not joking with you, to spy on and follow these players and try to gain intel. If the relationship between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook is still extremely strong, I think it's pretty safe to say Russell is gone. If it's not, OKC still has a chance to keep him.
Man, well, regardless, I see him trying to set the world on fire this year. There's nobody I expect to score more points than him this year.
Right.
He's just that chip on his shoulder is only getting bigger and heavier right now, and it's going to be it's going to be amazing to see if there's anybody that can that's a good shot at averaging a triple double for a series of games here. I'm not saying an entire series, but or an entire season, but I can see him going off in a really big way. That is where I would put all my fantasy basketball money if I played.
Yeah.
But that'll do it for this episode, Pounders. Enjoyed it. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep safe and let it fly.